Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.
And again, we want to thank Clay Nash and Susan Nash for hosting this here at City Gate. It is just a real honor to run with these guys. And so anyway, we're also glad to have Ron Teoff with us this morning. Many of you know Ron. And Ron is right now lives in Hazel. Where is it you live now? Hartsel, Alabama. And we have some Alabama people here, some folks. You're from Alabama, raise your hand. Woohoo! My home state. And we have some people here from my hometown as well. And where is that? Demopolis. All you Demopolis people, raise your hand. Keep your hand raised. There we go. Demopolis has taken over. But it's an honor to have them with us as well. But anyway, Ron is from Hartsel. He pastored for many years in that region. He got set free a couple of years ago. He's like me, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. And he got set free. He doesn't have to do that, go around that mountain anymore. I won't go any far. Yeah. And so anyway, he's a prophet of the Lord. Give Ron a warm welcome as he comes up this morning.
Thanks. Bless you. Amen. Amen. God is good. It's good to be with you today. Dutch and CC, I want to say thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Aren't you excited about these meetings this weekend? What God's doing. Clay and Susan, it's a joy to be with you guys, and thank you so much, and all of you that came. It's good to run together in your tribe, isn't it? And I'm excited about being with you. I bring you greetings also from my wife, Tricia. She couldn't be with us this weekend, and she said give her love and regards. She's with her 88-year-old dad. He fell about 5 weeks ago, broke some ribs, and they found out that he had multiple tumors, and so they've given him 3 months to live. And so she's there caring for him. So if you would, let's just pray for Trish, would you? And these are good days. He's ready to go be with the Lord. If he could, he'd go today. He is ready. And but nevertheless, the Lord is doing some exciting things there with her. And so just be remembering her over the next couple of months as she prepares. I'm excited about what the Lord's saying today. I really believe that there are some awesome things. I went back to the room last night after Chuck got preaching. What an awesome word, amen? And marked out all the stuff I wanted to say and found something different today, amen? One thing about following Chuck is he doesn't leave much to say afterwards. However, the good thing is you slept, and maybe I can warm your memory today on a few things. And I'm excited about what the Lord is doing. I do believe we're in some strategic times. I want to start this morning in Acts 2:43. Verse of Scripture is real dear to my heart. I've been speaking about quite a bit recently. And also I want to run through and give you some things over the next hour or so that we have together. And talk to you a little bit about what I think the Lord is saying during these days. And I want to say, first of all, in just beginning, a resounding yes, amen, thank you, Jesus, to all that Chuck imparted yesterday or last night, because I felt like that we really are in a new season of time. I feel like that we're in a new place. And I feel like the Lord is doing some really, really powerful things. In Acts 2:43, the Scripture says, and everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and great signs, wonders, and miracles were taking place through the hands of the apostles. And I want to start there, and I'm going to come back to that at the very end of the time that I have today. I felt like very interesting that today, whenever Ken was praying over us this morning, that he was praying about the awe of the Lord, because I feel like that's one of the things the Lord is restoring back to the body of Christ during these days. I feel like that the ecclesia needs to maintain that. But I really want to talk about a dream, a couple of dreams that's been really in my spirit, my heart, over the last week or so. A week ago this past Wednesday, I had a dream Wednesday night, woke up Thursday morning and really began to process through that dream. And I dreamed I was with a friend of mine who's a very young apostle, and we were going in to do a meeting. And it was interesting because in this meeting hall, back behind the stage area in the meeting hall is where we were staying for the duration of that conference we were doing together. And I remember taking my briefcase and I took my suitcase in there, and I had two shirts that I hung up back in an area where we were going to be staying. And we went out to greet people and to talk and so on and so forth. The meeting hadn't started. And I came back in to change my shirts. And whenever I did, the shirts were gone. And it bothered me because they were fairly new shirts. Just got them out of the cleaners. And I thought, these are just fresh and ready to go. And I turned and looked at him and I said, "Did you get my shirts?" He said, "No, I didn't. Where are they?" I said, "I don't know. Somebody got my shirts." And I woke up out of the dream. Well, I was bothered because I realized that there was something very strategic about that dream that was powerful to me. And I said, "Lord, I need to know about this." Of course, we know shirts represent mantles, and we know that that's very important. So I asked the Lord, I said, I need you to show me this dream. I need you to show me what I missed. And it was interesting. I went back to sleep several days later and had the same dream all over again. And I remember waking up out of that dream. This time I saw something that was very interesting, or remembered something about the dream. And that was when I took the shirts and I hung them up in the back of that convention center, there were a lot of 20 and 30 year old people going in and out of our area where we were staying for some odd reason. And one of the 20-year-old kids had come by, or young people, I shouldn't say kids, you know. I mean, my 25-year-old kid says, "I'm not a kid, Dad." So the young adults were coming through, and he and one of his friends came through and just got one of the shirts and took them with him and were gone. And so after I woke up out of this dream, I said, "Lord, give me understanding." He said, "This next generation coming up is wanting to see a true release of the apostolic and the prophetic mantles during this season of time." And he said, "Those shirts represent what I am choosing to give to them during this time. They want what you got." And he said, "It's very important that you learn how to be a true father to impart what I have imparted to you." And it was interesting. I was kind of going through this dream. Well, I went to be with a friend of mine, David Kelly, last weekend in Paducah, Kentucky. I was speaking there, and we sat down. We were eating Saturday night. He said, "Man, I need to tell you about a dream I had." And I said, "Really?" And I'm going to kind of, David's here. Raise your hand, David. David's right here. He'll straighten this dream out after this session. I'm going to give you the highlights, and you can ask him about the rest of it. But he said he had a dream, and the Lord took him over to and he said, "I have something that I want to release to you." And he took him over to a closet. And he said there were these big doors on these closets, and the Lord opened the closet doors, and there were a bunch of clothes hanging on a rod in this closet. And he said the Lord parted the clothes and pushed back all of the old clothes, the old shirts and coats and pants, just parted them back, and hanging on the very back wall of the closet on two nails were two brand new shirts. And he said, the Lord said, "These shirts are for you today. This is what I'm doing." He said, "This is the new apostolic and the prophetic mantles that I'm releasing during this season of time." And he said, "I'm removing out of the way those things of the old that have not fit what I desire to do during these days. And I have reserved these shirts, I have reserved these mantles for this day to be able to release the real and the true powerful prophetic mantles within the church and the apostolic mantles." Well, needless to say, I like to fell out of my chair, and we started talking about these dreams that was going on, because I believe very strongly in the power of dreams. I think the Lord speaks to us in dreams. In fact, I just want to tell you this. If you're a dreamer, you need to write your dreams down and pay attention to the dreams the Lord's giving you, because I'm telling you, we have reached a time and a season where dreams are very strategic and they're very significant in you moving into your destiny. As we begin to make our way forward and to move forward, it's very important that we understand that the Lord has to speak to many of us in dreams. And there's two reasons why. Number one, God wants to keep it pure. But the second reason is many of us are running at a such fast pace, we're not listening to Him when our eyes are open. Right? And I really think it's important that we learn how to slow down and spend time with the Lord, and we learn how to hear what He's saying, because I'm telling you right now, we're at a time and a season where the strategic release of the Lord is very, very powerful. You see, I think we're in a place, in a season of new mantles. This is a time where the Lord is really dismantling so He can remantle. And this season that we're moving in right now is a time where many of you are going to trade in the old mantle that you've been wearing, because that mantle doesn't fit anymore. In fact, some of you picked up mantles you never should have had anyway, but you did it because that's all the church had to offer, okay? Say, thank God I'm getting free. Ken and I, we thank God we're free. 18 months ago, really 20 months ago now, I stepped out of one mantle and I haven't missed it since. And I picked up this new mantle, and this whole mantling season is very important. And I cannot stress to you enough that what's happening is the Lord is releasing mantles over us during the season that are going to fit us better than the mantle of the last season. But what it's going to do is it's going to release the powerful presence of the Lord in such a way that we're all going to stand in awe once again at what God is doing. It's time now that the apostolic and the prophetic in the church align for the purpose of releasing the supernatural ways of the Lord. And I believe that we're in a time where signs, wonders, and miracles are now back into the church, and it's going to begin to escalate through the season ahead of us. Amen? Guys, we're in a great season. We're in a great time right now. And I really believe it's the heart of the Lord that we step into the fullness of that. A year ago, a year ago from this month, I was out in Dallas, and a friend of mine had a dream, and it was about a mantle given to me. It was about a new coat that was being fitted, and he said, I saw the Lord actually taking you, and he took you to a tailor shop, and he was custom making a new coat for you. And he said, you got to make sure that you don't miss your tailor appointment for the coat that's being made in the mantle. Well, I go in to CF and I went to visit Dutch and CC and just spend some time with them. I walk into the building where they meet for their gatherings out there. And whenever I walked in and we began to worship, I looked up and there were hundreds and thousands of mantles hanging from the ceiling in that place. And I remember I looked up and I looked at Dutch and I said, look at that. He said, what? What do you see? I said, there are mantles everywhere. I said, this is a season of remantling. And the Lord began to speak to me last October that really what happened was there was a tremendous shift that was coming, and there was a moving forward to where he was bringing mantles back in to the church. He's bringing mantles upon his sons and his daughters. And what's happening is he's now fitting us. Say fitting. Turn to your neighbor and say he's fitting you. He's fitting us now for the work that he has prepared for us from before the foundation of the earth. I mean, really, as Dutch says, you're rowing into your destiny. And now that you're moving into your destiny, you got to have the right garments on during this time. It's time now you get the right shirt, the right coat. It's time that you get the right place. And whenever I was in that place, I was overwhelmed at CF and I because of the mantling process. And the Lord spoke to me that day and he said this. He said, I'm mantling this generation for this season of time in order to release what is happening during these days. And I really think that the heart of the Lord is bringing us to a place to where we're going to understand the supernatural ways of the Lord. You see, now is the time whenever we're going to see the supernatural, the signs, wonders, and miracles released to us in such a manner that we're not going to talk about it anymore, but we're going to truly begin to walk in it. And one of the things the Lord spoke to me last year as I was preparing for 2013 was, he said, I'm going to be releasing upon the apostles and prophets during this next year a new level of anointing and power where their name is not going to be on a card and their validity is not going to be because that they have a title, but the validity will be because of the supernatural ways that they walk in and that they live in. And as I began to hear that, the Lord brought back to me a scripture that Paul spoke to the church when he said, the signs of a true apostle are done among you with all perseverance, with signs, wonders, and miracles following. And you know, for years, the church has been void of the supernatural ways of the Lord. But now what's happening is we are seeing a generation that God is raising up that will walk strategically in supernatural power and be able to release the kingdom of God in such a way. And we've got to be able to step into that place to where we see God doing awesome things. So it's time now to drop off the yesterday and drop off the last season and drop off the last cloak and drop off the last mantle that you don't need to wear anymore, that doesn't fit anymore, and learn how to step into that place where you say to the Lord, Lord, I'm moving into where you're wanting me to be. About 5 years ago, I was down in Montgomery at a conference, and a lady walked up to me after it was over with, and she put two dimes in my hand. And she said, I don't know why, but the Lord told me to put these dimes in your hand. And she said, I don't know what they mean. And I looked at her and I looked at my hand, saw the dimes. I looked at her and I said, I know exactly what they mean. It's a pair of dimes. I said, we're in for a paradigm shift. And I said, you know, you got to understand that what's happening is the Lord is releasing us into a new way of doing things. And I said, the truth is, we've talked about church as usual is over for years. But now what's happening is we're receiving the new paradigm that we need to step into, because what's happening is the ecclesia of God is going to begin to legislate in such a manner that we're going to start seeing the kingdom of God come to the forefront. And as the kingdom comes to the forefront, we're going to start living out the works of the kingdom. And I can't tell you how important it is that you have a proper understanding, say proper understanding, of the kingdom. Guys, there's a lot of teaching and preaching out there about the kingdom. Make sure you get the proper understanding of the kingdom. Because I'm telling you, the kingdom of God is exactly what Jesus taught us to preach. And the demonstration of the kingdom is a demonstration of the supernatural ways of the Lord. Healings and miracles ought to be a normal everyday activity for you. It ought to be a normal everyday activity for me. In fact, it kind of bothers me sometimes that the only healings we ever have are in our meetings. Why don't we take them to Chili's and Applebee's and the barbecue place? Why don't we do that kind of stuff out there? Amen? And I'm telling you right now what's happening in this strategic release and this paradigm shift the Lord is taking us in. We're going to begin seeing now people walking out the kingdom and demonstrating the kingdom in places where the Lord is releasing his power. Guys, listen to me. We need to see someone that is sick and see an opportunity. We need to see people that need to be healed as an opportunity to demonstrate the kingdom of God in such a manner that they grab hold of the truth of what the kingdom is about. You see, people are frustrated today because they've heard the talk, but they've not seen the walk. And my mom used to say, son, you need to practice what you preach. I said, no, ma'am, I need to preach what I practice. And really, that's the truth. I need to learn how to preach what I practice. If I'm not going to practice it, I don't need to talk about it. But if I begin to practice it, then I'll be able to talk about the things that the Lord is doing. And I really believe that we moved into that time where we are moving into the paradigm of the Lord. And this paradigm of the Lord is a strategic release of his presence and of his spirit. So from that time forward, I started seeing dimes everywhere I went. I mean, we went back and I gave the testimony to the church. Dimes started showing up. One of our elders' wife got in her car and a dime fell out of the steering wheel. Now, what's a dime doing in the steering wheel of the car? Dimes began to show up everywhere we were. One week, I found 10 dimes in 2 days. And I was down in Jackson preaching, what was it, 3 or 4 months ago. And I mean, the floor was clean, wasn't it? Got through preaching, looked down, there's 2 dimes laying on the floor. I mean, dimes everywhere. I mean, everywhere we go, there's dimes. I mean, dimes are showing up. I said, God, what is dime? He said, 10 is a number of divine order. Silver is, it means redemption. And he said, what's happening is I'm bringing my order back into the ecclesia, into the church again. And he said, I'm establishing through this new paradigm shift the order that I originally intended the church to walk in and operate in. And I am in the process of redeeming everything that has been lost. Guys, listen to me. God's in the business of putting back everything man has taken out. Amen? Guys, I don't care what history says. God said it's real. I got into a conversation, I'll start to say an aggravated argument, but it was a creative conversation with a friend of mine who's not necessarily walking where I'm walking, but we're friends nevertheless. And he and I got in this creative conversation about this kind of stuff. And he said, well, I just believe all that stuff passed away with the apostles. I said, well, if I was dead, I'd probably believe that too. And he got a little aggravated at me whenever I said. And I said, listen to me, just because you don't walk in it doesn't mean it's real. Just because you don't read the Bible and believe what it says doesn't mean it's not real. I said, this stuff is more real than you are. He said, well, just show it to me. We were sitting there eating. I said, fine. Waitress came up. And I started talking to the waitress. I released the word of the Lord over the waitress, prayed for her. She was healed right there. He said, well, I guess I'll just have to see it again. I said, dude, how many times you got to see it to believe it anymore, right? See, the truth is we need to learn how to begin releasing the kingdom of God and the supernatural ways of the Lord everywhere we go. Listen, I tell this story where I go. The oldest member of our congregation back in Hartsel, she was 80 at the time. She's about 83, 84 right now. And she went in Walmart one day. She was one of these ladies that saved up her trips to Walmart. You know, once a week she went to Walmart because it was a long way, about 3 miles from her house. And she goes into Walmart, and this cashier is in there, and she said, ma'am, do you happen to have a Tylenol in your purse? I have a splitting headache. And she said, no, honey, I don't. But I tell you what, you don't have to have that. Just lean over here and let me pray for you, and the Lord will heal you. This 80-year-old woman, a little grandma, she reaches over the counter, touches this woman on the head, and says, Father, in Jesus' name, I rebuke this headache. I command it to leave this body. And Father, I release healing into this body, and I say, be healed now in Jesus' name. The lady backed up and blinked her eyes and says, my God, it's gone. The lady standing behind her says, I got one. Took her hand, shoved it in her head, said, do it to me. Do it to me. She prayed for her. Two people got healed in the line at Walmart. That's kingdom right there, guys. You got to get the kingdom of God outside where you are. And the paradigm the Lord has brought us to is a shift of thinking and a way of believing and a way of doing. Guys, listen to me. We need to be getting people healed left and right. You need to pass a funeral home, see an opportunity. You need to go by a nursing home, or you need to go by a hospital and say, you know, Lord, I believe there's a kingdom need to be demonstrated in that place right now. We're seeing more. Listen, I'm prophesying more outside meetings than I am in meetings now. I'm praying for more people to be healed outside our gatherings than I am inside our gatherings. And the reason being is last time I read the book of Acts, people were taking their loved ones and their friends and laying them out in the street so Peter could walk by and the shadow anointing could get on them and they could be healed by the power of God. Amen? See, I live for John 14:12. And these signs Jesus did. You know, he talked to his disciples, he said, truly, truly, I say to you, if you believe in me, the works that I do, you shall do. And greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. Listen, we're just catching up with what he did. We need to catch up and surpass and move into that exponential curve. So about a month and a half ago, the Lord gave me a raise. I went from dimes to quarters. I was sitting in my living room. My 25-year-old son Andrew was there, and we were talking. And all of a sudden, and we were talking about destiny and we were talking about purpose. You know, he just got out of college and he's met a young lady that he thinks he wants to marry. And he's trying to, you know, get positioned for that. And I told him, I said, son, you need to pray about that a while. But he's getting positioned for that and getting ready. And we're talking about destiny. And all of a sudden, I heard a thump on the floor. Thump. He said, you see that? I said, see what? He said, you see that? And I said, no, I didn't see anything, but I heard a noise. I looked down under my foot, and there was a quarter laying on the floor. And this quarter just appeared and wham, hit the floor. I looked down there, and I thought, well, that's interesting. Picked the quarter up, and I said, Lord, what is the significance of this quarter? He said, in the last quarter of this year, I am preparing you and my people to cross into. And immediately the Lord says, Joshua 1:11. I picked up my Bible, looked at Joshua 1:11. And Joshua 1:11 talks about that they crossed over the Jordan to go in and possess the land that the Lord their God had given them. And I'm telling you right now, the last quarter of this year, and Chuck said this last night, and I want to shout it from the mountaintops and from the housetops, that this quarter, this last quarter, October, November, December, is a preparation time for you and I to cross into what God has said to us. I'm telling you right now, we have moved strategically into a place where God is preparing us now. And this is not a time to be asleep. This is not a time to be lethargic. This is not a time to be apathetic. This is not a time to wander. This is a time to prepare yourself. Because ladies and gentlemen, hear me, 2014 is going to take an exponential rise in the things of the Lord in the kingdom. We're going to see kingdom things begin to happen 2014 that we've never seen in our lifetime. I'm telling you right now, we need to learn how to step into this provision of the Lord that has come on us during this time is so very important. And I'm telling you, we got to learn. We have crossed over. Now we got to cross into. We got to get into this thing. I just, inside my spirit, I gyrate most of the time because it's kind of like, Lord, I got to get into this. I got to get into this. I got to get into this. And you know, we got to step into that place and say, Lord, we got to get to where you're calling us. Lord, we got to move into this place because it is the heart of the Father. Last September, the Lord spoke to me and he said something that was very strategic. He said, I'm releasing the allotments of heaven beginning in 2013. And he said, I want you to go look up the word allotment. I said, Lord, I know what allotment means. He said, no, you don't. Go look it up. Now, how many of y'all know that's rather humiliating? But nevertheless, if you're going to get correction, it's better to get it from God, right? So I go and look up the word allotment. Do you know what the word allotment means? The word allotment is a portion that is given by inheritance. And in September of last year, he said, I am releasing the allotments of heaven. Guys, listen to me. There are promises. There are provisions. There's revelation. There's things in heaven that are being released to us right now in such a strategic manner that the allotments of heaven are going to begin to fall down on top of us as sons and daughters. And if we don't know what to do with them, we're going to squander them. This is not a time to be prodigal. Now listen to me. The word prodigal does not mean backslidden like we think it does. The word prodigal means to squander. And there's a lot of folks that have squandered what God gave them, but they're not backslidden, so to speak. And you got to understand, when we talk about prodigal, prodigal means to squander. If God has given you something and you haven't used it, you squandered it. If the Lord has released a mantle on you and you haven't walked in it, you squandered it. If you haven't taken the allotment and the provision of the Lord, then you squandered. And you know what? All of us have squandered to a certain point, right? But what we've got to learn how to do is not be the prodigal and not be the one that squanders what was given us. Because the prodigal son that we call it in Scripture, he took the inheritance of the father and went and squandered it in the land until it was all gone and finally came back to the father. And so this is the time that the Lord is releasing allotments from heaven not to be squandered. But these allotments are given to us to strengthen us to be able to walk out our destiny and our purpose. I'm telling you, there is more revelation coming right now at us than we can have the capacity to receive. I mean, it's amazing. You see, with the release of this new apostolic and prophetic paradigm that the Lord's given us, this new thing that's coming to us, ladies and gentlemen, is going to be the spirit of wisdom and revelation, Ephesians 1, the spirit of wisdom and revelation released over us during this season of time. This is the time where we step in to receive the revelation of the Lord. And whenever we step into that, we've got to recognize God's saying some things that is so strategic to us. So now is the time to have the spirit of the sons of Issachar. This is a time that we need to step into the 1 Chronicles 12:32, and we have an understanding of the times and a knowledge of what to do. Because during this season, we've got to be willing to say to the Lord, Lord, I receive what you're bringing, but I, by your counsel, I begin to step into what it is, Lord, that you have created for us. Me and those around us, that I step into that place. So you see, the spirit of the sons of Issachar is very strategic during this time. We got to know what's going on. This is the time to find your tribe. You need to get in your tribe. I found my tribe. You need to find your tribe. Get in your tribe. Learn how to operate within your tribe. Learn how to be able to walk together. This is not a time to be alone. This is a time to find your tribe and run together. This is a time that we strategically learn how to operate as a team the way God originally intended for us to operate. One of the things you're going to see fall away over the next few years is a one-man show that we've talked about for years and years. And you're going to see the true fivefold begin to rise up within congregations. And you're going to see through the apostolic all the way down to the teaching gift, you're going to see those fivefold gifts begin to manifest and strengthen the church and bring the church to a place of maturity. We're going to quit moving the mustache to get a bottle in your mouth. You're going to grow up in all aspects into the Lord Jesus Christ because of what God's doing during this season. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's time. Guys, this is a time whenever we move into a place of maturity in the Lord. Now turn your neighbor and say, everybody say, it's okay first. Now turn your neighbor and say, grow up. Some of y'all felt pretty good about that, didn't you? Might want to check your heart. Listen, for a long, long time, what we've done is we have functioned off of a one-legged stool. I mean, we function out of a one-legged capacity. And what's happening during these days is there is that strategic release.
Guys, listen to me. We've seen the apostolic and prophetic in a certain form, and we've seen a measure of it, but we've moved into a place where the Lord is bringing such definition to it that it's going to begin to take on the true likeness and character of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's what that those giftings have to give. And that's what the fivefold is about. It's about raising the ecclesia. It's about raising the people of God to a place of maturity. Amen? We got to understand that. You see, if we're ever going to find our way forward, we're not going to do it down on our hands and knees crawling around. Some of us are going to have to learn how to walk. Some of us are going to have to learn how to run. It's time to run. It's time to move into that place and say, Lord, what I want to do is I want to be able to encounter you because of what you're doing. So transition's not a bad deal. I've been saying for 2 years now my transition is in transition. And transition is not a bad deal, because the transitional time that you're in right now is a very healthy time because of this dismantling and remantling process of the Lord that is coming on you. And you got to understand that we got to be able to grab hold of what the Lord's doing. So here's some things I want to give you. I want to just run through this. I don't have time to develop it today. I'm just going to give you the key points. Y'all take it home and develop it on your own. But I want to talk to you about ways we can miss what God's doing. When we talk about the way forward, we need to understand that the Lord is bringing such clarity during this season of time that we're going to know how to do and what to do. We're going to know where to go and how to go. I don't have time to tell this today, but I had a vision about 5 years ago where the Lord took me into the hall of revelation in heaven. And during that period of time, he showed me all of what he was going to be releasing during that period of time. And he showed me the angels as they were being released to give out the revelation. And one thing that the Lord told me about this hall of revelation, and as I saw all of that was there at that time, the Lord spoke to me and he said, I want you to understand there's an endless supply of revelation being released during these days. There will never be a shortage and it will never run out. You can have as much revelation as you choose to position yourself to receive. Let me say that again. You can have as much revelation as you want to as you position yourself to receive. Let me say that last phrase. As you position yourself to receive. Let me say that one more time. As you position yourself to receive. Guys, let me tell you something. We've been teaching and preaching alignment for several years. This is a time that alignment is not just a good word and a good sermon and a good teaching anymore. Alignment is absolutely imperative during these days, because powerlessness is inexcusable from this day forward. It is inexcusable at this point for us to live a life of powerlessness. We got to understand that the revelation of the Lord is going to be given to us in an unprecedented manner. It's going to be given to us without measure, because the Lord is releasing revelation, strategic revelation, to us. I got to position myself to receive it. It's like back years and years ago, an old friend of mine said, you got to get under the spout where the glory comes out. And you really do. If you're out of position, you're not going to get the revelation you need. You need to get in the position to receive from the Lord what he wants to download to you. You got to get in that position to step into that place and say, Lord, I want to receive. God, I want to be where you want me to be. Lord, I am positioning myself in order to come into that place with you where, Lord, I receive the downloads of heaven, because, God, the revelation I need during this time is very, very important in the destiny that I need to fulfill. You got to understand that. But you know, if you're not careful, you can miss what's going on. There's two passages of scripture that I've taught on lately that I just want to submit to you today. One is in John chapter 1. And in John chapter 1, we read the words of John about John the Baptist and Jesus is found in verse 29 through 34. And what happened was John was at the baptism of the Lord Jesus, but in verse 31 and verse 33, and for sake of time, I'm not going to read this. I'm just going to let you go find it on your own. But in verse 31 and 33, there are two phrases in that passage that really bothers me, and it's this phrase. John said, and I did not recognize him.
and I did not recognize him. So what John was saying was, is that he had come to a place where he now was seeing the Lord Jesus and he was baptizing him. He saw the Spirit descending on him as a dove, but he said twice in this passage, I did not recognize him. How is it that one who was filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb at the salutation of the mother of the Savior of the world, how is it the one who had an in utero encounter with Jesus, how is it is the one who grew up with the Lord Jesus Christ, who was cousins to him, who probably played with him whenever he was younger, how is it that the one who grew up beside him and saw him day to day did not know who he was? He said, and I did not recognize him. He said, he comes and all of a sudden he's baptizing him and he's realizing this is the one, this is the Savior, this is the guy I've been talking about. He had become so familiar with him, he knew him so much in the natural realm that he did not see him for who he really was. And part of this remantling process we're going through, ladies and gentlemen, is because we don't understand fully everything God has given to us, and there's got to be a changing of what's going on. We got to learn how to recognize one another, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We're going to have to quit looking at each other as, well, I grew up with old Rick there and I've known him for 100 years. No, no, no. I need to see the Rick who is the apostolic man who walks in the power of God in signs, wonders, and miracles. And if I need a healing, I can go to him. He can lay hands on me and I'll be healed. That's the way I need to see Rick Curry. Not as a good old boy from Kentucky. And I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're looking at people through the natural, you'll never receive from them spiritually. You'll receive natural things from them. But when you begin to look at them from the eyes of the Spirit, you'll begin seeing them from a spiritual perspective. You'll begin seeing them in the destiny that God created them to be, and you'll embrace it for the destiny the Lord has for you. Turn to your neighbor and say, I need you in my destiny. And I did not recognize him. And I did not recognize him. But Matthew chapter 11 bothers me more than that. Because while John was in prison, he sent his disciples, and you find this in verse 1 through 6 of Matthew chapter 11. You can read it on your own. But John sends his disciples down to Jesus and said, are you the expected one, or do we need to look for somebody else? Now hang on, he baptized him. He saw the dove come. He knew the Spirit was on him. He heard the decree from heaven. He recognized him. How is it that he walked after that point, and now he's asking what we would call a dumb question of, are you the one or do I look for someone else? And John says, well, you go back and, or Jesus said to his disciples, you go back and you tell John, the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and by the way, blessed are those who are not offended in me. How is it that John could ask such an obvious question? Are you the one we look for somebody else? Are you the one? You see, the truth is, he didn't recognize him at one point, and then another point he had to ask the question, are you it? Are you him? Are you the one that I promise? Why? Because Jesus did not fit his paradigm. Jesus did not fit in his box. Jesus did not fit his way of doing things. You see, Jesus operated so far outside the box there wasn't one. He colored so far off the page that there was nothing to color except creation. So what he did was he began to decree and he began to release by his word what the true ecclesia of God was to be. Because the paradigm was not there, the box was not there. So he came to create in earth from heaven the kingdom of God and to release into the earth what the true church was to be. That's why he said, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Well, I don't have time to go there. I wish I did. He just looks at him. He said, oh, by the way, go back and tell him this. You know what was interesting? He didn't tell him, y'all go back and tell John what great sermon you heard today. Go back and tell him you need to get my CD. Y'all get on the internet and stream me in. Boy, I got a good word. He didn't tell. You know what he did? He said, go tell John, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached. Do you know what he told John? John, I don't have a sermon to give you, but here's the demonstration of my Father's kingdom.
Paul said this in Corinthians chapter 2, "For my message and my preaching were not in the persuasive words of men's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power, so that your faith will not rest upon the wisdom of men, but the power of God." Now listen, I'm a preacher, been doing this for 38 years, but I'm telling you, we've had enough sermons and enough teaching. It's time to have demonstration. And when Jesus sent word back to John, he didn't send back his sermon. He sent back the demonstration of his life. He sent back the fruit of his life. He sent back the demonstration. And I'm telling you right now, the supernatural ways of the Lord must be released on a higher level. We have to choose to walk in it, but we got to choose to get in his presence to receive what we have to receive in order to demonstrate that kingdom in the earth. And I'm telling you right now, God is in the business. And then we've got a generation on our hands. They're not interested in another sermon. They want to see the stuff. About 2 months ago, I was invited by a high school senior to come and have dinner. Now, that's really interesting. I'm 53 years old. So this guy comes to me and he said, I got a couple of my friends. Will you have dinner? I want you to come in our house. And I said, sure. And it just happened to be my dentist's son that invited me to this. So I go in and they had dinner set up in the dining room for me and him and three of his friends. My wife went with his mom and dad and sister over into another dining room in their house. They didn't have it together, and I thought that was rather strange. So I sat down and began to eat, and I said, okay, what do you guys want to do? And he looked at me and he said, we want you to mentor us. I said, why do you want me to mentor you? They said, because we want to do the stuff. I said, you don't preach good sermons, you just do the stuff. We've been watching you when they're around here. Oh, you just do the stuff. So they put me on the spot. I sat for 2 hours talking to these guys, and I mean, they're just antsy, you know. You can imagine. It was two high school seniors and two college freshmen. So they set me up. They put me on the spot. How many of y'all know the Lord will set you up? One of the covenant names of the Lord that's not in the Bible is Jehovah Sneaky. So I talk for 2 hours, and one of them looks at me. His name is Luke Parker, who goes to, y'all know Luke. Luke's in my school of supernatural back there in Coleman. And Luke says, well, okay, we got to do this stuff right now. I said, okay, fine. And he looks over, and there's a kid named Andrew, who's a high school senior, sitting across the table. He said, Andrew has been blind in his right eye from birth. And I thought, here we go. I said, are you serious? And I looked at the kid and he said, yeah. And he gave me the name of his condition. And he said, I can see out my left eye fine, but my right eye is blind. He said, sometimes I can see light and I can see dark, and that's it. I've never seen anything out of my right eye. I don't know what anything looks like out of this eye. And so Luke's over there. He said, let's do the stuff. Let's do the stuff. I said, come on, let's go do the stuff. Y'all want to do the stuff? Yeah, we want to do the stuff. We go over and lay hands on this kid on his right eye. Begin to pray over him. I began to break generational curses off of him. Began to release the healing of the Lord. In 10 minutes' time, this boy with a blind right eye could cover his left eye, could see across the table someone standing and could count their fingers. He walked around the rest of the night like this, looking out of his new eye that God gave him because he healed his right eye. How many of y'all know that after that point, those boys were convinced? I can't beat them off now. You know why? Because they're wanting to see the stuff. Whenever that blind eye was open and it was verified, I talked to Luke last week. I said, how's Andrew doing? Man, he's walking around with his right eye open, just looking at everything, man. That's really cool. He had never been able to see from birth. 18 years old, the kid had never seen out of his eye. And the Lord healed his eye. That's the demonstration of the kingdom. And you see, this new generation coming up, they're not taking excuses anymore. They will not be put off anymore. You can't push them back anymore. They're radical enough to believe. And they got the faith to connect with the kingdom and move forward. I'm telling you, it's the way forward, guys. It's the time to go. We got to move into this thing. So Jesus, when he talks to John's disciples, he said, look, you guys need to understand. I'm going to tell you what's happening. So he gave him the list of what to believe. And John understood at that point.
He was doing something that was so much greater than had ever been done. You got to understand, for 400 years, nothing had come from heaven. And then John the Baptist comes on the scene announcing one who was coming. And now when Jesus shows up, he began to preach it and demonstrate it. But he also said to John, "Blessed are those who are not offended in me." Let me just tell you something right now prophetically. Do not get offended at what God takes out of your life right now. You need to be as happy about turning stuff loose as you are about embracing the new things of the Lord. Let me tell you, there's some hell in your life you're going to have to turn loose up. Can I just go ahead and say that again? There's some hell in your life that you need to turn loose up. There's been doctrines and demons and heresies and thought processes and patterns and things we've been taught, things that we've embraced. And guys, it's time to dump the stuff that doesn't come from the kingdom and learn how to embrace the fullness of God's kingdom in our life. Amen? Now, here again, I don't have time. Let me just shoot this to you right quick. I got 10 things, 11 things I'm going to give you right quick. You can miss it if you're not careful. It's possible to miss the onset of what's going. However, I do agree with Chuck 100%. You can't resist what God's going to run over us with this deal. You can't resist what's happening. But you know, you can either choose to get on now or get on later. I would suggest get on now because being drugged is not any fun. Let me shoot these to you. How can I miss what God's doing? Number one, by having a natural mindset. By seeing things through the natural eye, seeing things through the natural sight. Being so focused on the natural things. You know, Paul had that problem whenever he cast that spirit of divination out of that little old girl out there. The people in town got mad at him because he started messing with their economy. Nevertheless, a girl got free. Jesus had a problem whenever he met the Gadarene demoniac. You remember he went into town, the demoniac came running up to him, and he cast the legion of demons out into the hogs, and the hogs ran off the cliff. And the herdsmen went and stirred all the people up, and they ran him out because they killed all the hogs. They weren't supposed to be eating pork anyway. But he killed a herd of hogs. Nevertheless, a man got free. You know what? There'll always be people that look at this thing naturally that don't see what God's doing. And you got to learn to value the word of the Lord. You got to value the works of the Lord. You got to value what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing during these days. You got to value what Holy Spirit is releasing during these days. And you cannot see it through the eyes of the natural man. You got to see it through the eyes of the Spirit. Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians 2:14. He said, these things that are taking place have to be spiritually appraised. The natural man will miss it. Guys, I've been in places where the power of God was moving. Signs, wonders, and miracles were flowing. People were being born again. People were getting filled with the Holy Spirit, and there were people in there that got mad as they could be because it lasted longer than an hour and a half. Y'all ever been there for? Got angry because it didn't look like what they thought it ought to look like. God colors way outside the lines, off the page, and into nothing. God creates out of nothing what he wants to do in the earth today. I'm glad he's coloring out over nothing. We need some creativity again. Number two, you can miss it by lack of desperation. If you're not careful, you won't be desperate enough to be able to get what God's doing. Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are those which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Guys, it's good to be hungry and thirsty after the things of the Lord. Desperation will begin to fuel a lot of things. You know, you can take one desperate man and four crazy friends and get a lot done. There was a man that needed healing. He's desperate enough. He talked to his four friends, carry him up on top of the roof, tear the roof off the house, and let him down in front of Jesus. I'm going to tell you, one desperate man and four crazy friends will get something done every time. And we got to learn how to step into this thing. We're not desperate enough for the things of the Lord. Number three, we got to learn how to maintain our first love. Let me just tell you, in a time when you can love a lot of stuff, you better be loving him more than your stuff. Guys, it is not the person who dies with the most toys that wins. It is the person that dies with the presence and the power of God in their life that wins this game. We got to learn how to be able to maintain our first love in the Lord Jesus Christ. We got to learn how to step into that place. Number four, we can miss what's going on. We can miss this season and move of God by rejecting it. How can we reject this move of God? By having a religious spirit, glorifying what God has done while we resist what God is doing. I want to tell you something right now. Say, I'm listening. You got to be careful because when this religious spirit starts kicking up, you need to understand the champions of the last move can become the enemies of the present move.
You can hang on to what happened in the past so long that you're going to miss this present move of the Lord. I'm telling you, this is not a time to fall behind. This is a time to stay on the cutting edge of what the Lord is doing and stepping into that place with Him. Number five, you can miss this next move by not pressing in. We don't know how to press in anymore. We know how to push, and if it pushes back, we quit. We got to press in. Guys, you got to learn how to step out against opposition. You got to tell the enemy, go back to hell where you came from. I got a kingdom that I've got to move forward in. I've got some advancing I need to do. Guys, we need to learn how to press in. We need to learn how to pray. We need to learn how to study. We need to learn how to commit ourselves to the Lord. We need to recapture true meditation in Scripture. We need to grab hold of the Word and get it down in our life. I told somebody the other day, I said, I'm meditating on Scripture. Oh, you're in the New Age. I said, no, I'm not. I'm in the kingdom. He had it before New Age was ever thought of. I meditate on His Word day and night. It's what the Word of God teaches me. See, I got to learn how to be able to step into that place. And I got to learn how to say, Lord, I need to press in. Guys, listen to me. There comes a time that you just got to rawly step out in faith and you got to believe God. And I'm telling you, listen to me. There comes a time the church is going to have to learn how to pray again. Listen, there is a marrying together of worship and the prophetic, and we are going to war through our worship. But I'm telling you, there's some times that you need to go out in the woods without your iPod, without your phone, without a CD, and all you hear is God. Get your spirit turned around and straightened up and release your heart to the Father and let Him speak to you without any interference or white noise. You got to press in, man. You're not going to get anywhere if you don't press into this next deal. You got to get a pit bull spirit on you. You got to grab it and hang on until she's done. We got to press into what God's doing. Number six, we got to be willing to bear reproach. We got to be willing to bear reproach. Mary understood what it was to bear reproach. Luke 1:38. She was called to be pregnant and unwed before it was popular and accepted. There was reproach to what Mary had to do to bring Jesus in the earth. Joseph, who wanted to divorce her and put her away privately, had a visitation from heaven. And the angel of the Lord says, don't be afraid, take her as your wife, care for her, love her, because she's carrying the Son of God. He had to be willing to bear reproach. But in Luke 1:38, this is what Mary said, be it done unto me according to your word. I'm going to tell you what, when you get pregnant with what God's got for you, you get pregnant with your destiny and the word of the Lord in your life, guys, you're going to have to bear some reproach. Guys, there are going to be people who don't understand you. Your family's not going to understand you. Your friends not going to understand you. Go get some new friends. And by the way, while you're getting new friends, go get some lost ones. I mean, I got one little bitty old nerve. And I gotta get this thing out because there's something all over. Why is it that we Christians don't have any lost friends? That's right. Guys, if the only people that you run with are Christians, shame on you. Go get you some lost friends. Jesus was a friend of sinners. Why can't I be? I mean, I love my neighbor who drinks beer and cusses. I'm going to win that sucker to the Lord one way or another. He likes me and he likes my dog and we're okay. But the truth is, we need to learn how to be a friend of sinners again. We need to learn how to have an impact in the life of people that don't know Him. And we got to be willing to bear reproach. Most Christians don't run around with non-Christians because their Christian friends ridicule them for doing so. Well, I guess you're just falling away. You're out there running around with sinners. My word to them is they need to fall into something. Jesus. See, we got to learn how. We got to learn how to bear some reproach. We got to say, Lord, be it done unto me according to your word. I got to be willing to take whatever it is. Number seven, we can miss it by quenching Holy Spirit. Do not quench. Do not resist Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5, 19-20 talks about resisting. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterance. Did you know that's all one sentence? Some of us divide it up. No. That's all one thought process. You know how you quench Holy Spirit? You quench him by resisting and not embracing the prophetic word of the Lord. See, that's why the true prophetic has got to be raised up during this time. See, we need that place of integrity and that place of honor within the prophetic and the apostolic and all the fivefold. We got to have that again. My dad said something to me one time. He said, son, you need it. We were talking about integrity one day. He said, I'm going to tell you something, son. If you have to defend your integrity, you don't have any.
If you have to defend your integrity, you don't have any. If your integrity is not strong enough to stand on its own, you need some. Now, you got to understand, my dad was an Army guy. And he ran a construction company. But yet he had wisdom that was just unbelievable. And it's amazing how wise he got when I was about 25, 30 years old. 18, I didn't think he knew anything. Boy, he got wise the older I got. And he taught me how to be willing to walk and not quench the Holy Spirit, not quench what God was doing, to be able to walk that in that integrity, that true character of the Lord. Number eight, we can resist the sudden encounters of the Lord. You see, we can miss the Lord because when he comes suddenly, we don't step into it. Do not resist the sudden encounters of the Lord. Pentecost was a sudden encounter. Revelation, whenever Jesus came and visited John, suddenly encounter. You see, we got to learn how to step in the suddenly of the Lord. When the sudden encounter of the Lord comes, we got to move into it. Number nine, we can miss this awakening, this coming time of the Lord by choosing order over life. Choose life. Order's coming. Sometimes we choose so much order that life can't flow through it. Guys, listen to me. You need to hear me. Say, I'm listening. Let life beg for structure, not structure beg for life. If your structure's begging for life, get another structure. Get life. Choose life. Choose what God's doing. You see, what's happening is the Lord is shifting religious services into presence encounters. We're going to see, the Lord told me several years ago, he said, I'm preparing for a hostile takeover of Holy Spirit in the church. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, man's taking it. Now I'm going to take it back over. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit and just blow everybody out. Isn't that cool? Religious services are going to become presence encounters. Number 10, don't become too familiar. You can miss this move of the Lord by becoming so familiar you no longer see it. John says, I didn't recognize him. Are you the one or do we look for somebody else? Sometimes you get so familiar you don't recognize. And I talked about that earlier, but you got to understand, you cannot become too familiar with one another and you cannot become too familiar with what God's doing. Or you will not recognize the value of the gift of God that he's placing in your life, be it through people or be it through a spiritual gift. Number 11, this is the last one. You can miss by losing your all. You can miss by losing your all. A-W-E. In 1980, I was assigned a paper to write in Christian Ministries class. And it was very interesting because in Christian Ministries class, whenever I was writing this paper, it was on the Wesleyan Church. I studied John Wesley and Charles Wesley and George Whitfield and all those guys. And I started studying revival around the world. I ran across an article. I wish I would have kept it. I memorized it pretty much. But in this article, there was a journalist that was assigned writing. He was to write an article on a missionary who's coming home from mission field. So he found out when this guy was coming back to America, and he went out to the airport to meet him. The old man, who was in his later 70s at this point, was coming home. His family and friends were there to greet him. This journalist wanted to be there, greet him when he got off the plane, set up a time to meet with him and write the article. So the old man come off the plane after he greeted his family and friends. He walked up, he introduced himself. He said, I'm so-and-so, I'm here. I'm going to be writing an article for you on your life about it for a Christian periodical. And he said, I want to set up a time. But he said, I just want to ask you one question. And he said, sir, what kept you on the mission field all those years? We've read about your life. We've read about your ministry. Now my assignment is to write a total work on what God did. But what kept you there? The old man in his latter 70s with blue eyes looked into the eyes of that young man. And this is what he said. I never lost the awe of him. He said, I would wake up in the morning and I would tell him how much I loved him. He said, I would ask him about my day. And he said, as I would go throughout my life in ministry, I would inquire of the Lord. And he said, I would stand and I would talk to him about what he had me to do, and I would receive the assignments. And he said, when I would go through the days, I knew of the angelic encounters that were there. And he said, I knew of the miracles and the signs and the wonders. And he said, I would pray and people would be healed, and we would pray and food would come. And he said, all these wonderful miracles would begin to take place. And he said, I was always enamored with the awe of the God that I served. And he said, I would go throughout my day, return back that evening. When I sat down at dinner to thank him for my food, I would thank him for all that he had done that day, for the works of his kingdom and the works of his power and everything that I'd seen that day. When I would preach and I would see people come to know him, I never lost the power of the salvation and the joy of the salvation. He said, when they got saved, I got saved all over again with them because of the joy of that. And he said, when I laid down at night before I'd go to bed, I'd ask the Lord to give me a dream for the next day. And he said, I would thank him for the awe and the majesty and who he was. And he said, I always lived right within the midst of everything that God was doing in my life. And he said, I lived my life by the supernatural wonders. And he said, I lived my life as an Acts 2:43 Christian. He said, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and great signs and wonders were taking place. So everything that he did, he said, I was caught up in him. I never lost the joy of him. I loved him more now than I've ever loved him in my life. And he said, the day I walked off the mission field, I was more in love with him and what he called me to do because of the awe of the Lord that was in my life. And I stand here today as an old man full of power and full of youth because of the awe of the Lord that is in my life. The young journalist took his pad and closed it, laid down his pen. He looked at the old man and he said, sir, I've lost my all. Please pray for me. I want the all back. There was something in the life of that old man who lived his life by the awe of the Lord. There was something about him that released the fragrance of heaven, but there was something about him that released the power of the kingdom. He never lost his awe. When you got up to pray this morning, I thought about that story. You see, we've got so familiar with him, we no longer value who he is and what he does. Someone gets saved, we don't rejoice anymore because we no longer have the joy of our salvation. We need the joy back. When we see the mighty hands of God, we just think that's wonderful, and we go about life not valuing because we need the awe. Do you know what made the New Testament church great? Everyone. Not just the apostles, not just the prophets, not just the pastors, not just the teachers, not just the evangelists. Everyone. Everyone. Kept feeling a sense of awe. Everyone. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you, restore the awe to the church again. Lord, I pray today, God, that we may continually feel the sense of awe. Lord, whatever you need to do in us, God, to bring your all back in again, do it. Lord, whatever in me's got to change to live by the power of your all, Lord, I want to change. And Lord, I pray that the power of your all, God, will so fill us. And Lord God, we would live out the way forward in our destiny as sons and daughters of the kingdom and the Most High God. Lord, give us your all. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.